Welcome back to episode 2 of Jill's podcast. Today, we'll be talking about our true nature. I'm climbing this mountain of life and then coming back down. Is happiness a choice or a journey? To put it simply, it's both. Both a mindset and a choice that requires action in the now. We first establish the goal and make the conscious choice to be happy, not wish for it, and then take the measures required to accomplish your goal of happiness. It's just like anything else in life. If you want it, you have to work for it. It's not something you wait on, it's not something you wish for in the future. People need to take action now. If you wait on it, you'll be waiting on it the rest of your life. People are influenced to believe that we need to be out looking for happiness, or maybe that one day we will be happy. We will wake up and be happy forever. If you look for happiness, you will only find things. Things such as cars, televisions, Apple Watches, and the latest technology. And these things, they will never last, and the happiness is short-lived. We are brainwashed in the society to blindly consume and consume more. It is a society built off consumerism. Maybe that is why many of us are so unhappy. When we consume our time and we waste it on things rather than our growth. But there is no time, there is only now. So choose to make conscious choices in the now for your happiness. Happiness is a result of the acceptance of reality and personal growth. And growth is a result of overcoming problems. We view problems as issues, but we should be looking at them as challenges. And if we can have that growth mindset, then we'll see that the problems were never really problems, just opportunities for growth. Challenges are key to growth, and growth is the key to building happiness. Happiness is a process. You will forever be growing and in result becoming happier. I can promise that if you are waiting around for happiness, it's never going to bring you happiness. Blindly wishing on the stars for it will not make it appear either. Instead of wishing for happiness, realize that happiness has and always been within you the entire time. Wishing only reinforces that there is a lack of it in the first place. It is your true nature to be happy, because you are love and light, and a reflection of the divine. If it has always been there the whole time, there is no need to wish for it. Happiness is perspective, it's not a desire or want, it's not something attainable but is always available. It cannot be obtained by external things you desire. Happiness is coming into alignment and resonating with this truth that the journey and the destination are one and the same. Happiness is an eternal, ever-changing process, an internal vibration, a choice, a commitment, and a perspective all at once. It's maintaining positive, knowing that everything is ultimately happening for your higher good. For the higher good. With this perspective, you no longer resonate with trauma or the circumstances that you've endured. Happiness is you. You are happiness, and that can never change. Happiness is all how you view it. It is an abstraction, not something concrete. And that's why it's so hard for so many people to grasp, because they can't grasp it. It's not a thing, it's not a concrete thing, it's not a physical thing. It's a vibration. Happiness, in shortest terms, is a rediscovering. It is your true energetic capacity. If your goal is to rediscover happiness, there are always obstacles in the path. Illusions to keep you falling backwards. But a bad day doesn't make it a bad week. A bad week doesn't make it a bad year. And a bad year does not make a bad life. In an adult world, from this point on, you will deal with challenges, conflicts, and setbacks every day from here on out, and it's inevitable. There's no way of escaping it. You could run, you could escape, but it will only leave you more withdrawn from your dream. Subconsciously, when we escape, we know we are not tackling life and are only decaying. And life is a series of setbacks and successes. When the challenges come, we learn and grow and only open up our horizons. And at the time, it may feel like the whole world is crashing down, but it's not. You've been there other times before and you survived, and you will only continue to keep surviving. But instead of simply just surviving, we can change our outlook to be aligned with our higher self or our true nature. Outlook or perspective can help us persevere through tough times. And the more we persevere through challenges, the more resilient we become. In this life, a tough skin is required. It is essential to be resilient, or you just crumble like rocks on a mountain. Recently, I've been exploring Buddhism and Taoism and what Taoism is, which is about accepting life for what it is, and that life has problems. It is about seeing the beauty in the struggle. In a Taoist outlook, there will always be a struggle, but it's how we choose to overcome the issues that matter. It is still loving life regardless of challenges. Siddhartha touched down on the ground and accepted the world for what it was, rather than try to fight it. His powerful message of hope has changed the hearts of millions and brought positive change into the world. Happiness is about accepting the world and seeking a balance of the mind, body, and the spirit. When you have true acceptance, you're no longer resisting. You're not in the future, you're not in the past, you're in the now. The now, the eternal, the spirit within. Seek it. Don't look for it. It's always there. When we are balanced, we are better able to overcome hardships and connect back to what is true to our life's purpose and keep going. A balanced being is a mindful being. A calm and mindful being is focused on their truest intentions for the world. The more experience a person has, the more resilient they continue to become. And the more resilient they are, the better equipped they are at dealing with the realities of life. Life is one big mountain, and I am intent on reaching the top. I will forever keep climbing, because that is what life is, a mix of struggle and wonder. There is still so much awe in the world, so much growth, and so much love, which is the foundation of everything else. It gives me purpose, hope, and courage to persevere. The people and the places make it worth it. With that love, I continue to take in the beauty and the joy of the little things. The reflection of the clouds and sunset on the water, the unexplored places, the forests and the mountains, they not only call me, but they call everyone. Just look out for the call and listen. And when you are called, you will struggle. And when you struggle, you will grow. Choose to open your third eye and hear that call, because nature is calling us. Hello! Welcome back to episode 4 of Jill's podcast. Today, I'm going to be talking about overcoming the invisible obstacle, our own mask. All the world is a stage, and we are merely players, according to Shakespeare. Have we forgotten who we are under all of our layers? Under all of our masks? How are these layers or masks formed? Our own limited experiences, or how others have perceived you? Our man-made personas or masks are like the layers of the onion, or koshas in Buddhism. Under all of the kosha resides our true consciousness. At the core, we are perfect and whole. We are always were and always will be. I talked about that a little bit in the Jill and Aisha podcast, actually. You have to remember who you are. In this life, we tend to get distracted by illusions, which bring us off our spiritual path. The ego likes to think all things are happening to it. It also wants and wants and can never get enough. It chases an endless path of wants and desires. Ultimately, this chase leaves us feeling more empty and unsatisfied. Adding on to our ego, we only add layers to our masks, which makes it more difficult to remember who you are.
Who we are is pure consciousness. Everything and nothing simultaneously. A portal where all things are possible through love and manifestation. You are a co-creator. You always have this within you. The entire time. It is simply a rediscovering and a re-remembering. As a nation, however, we're experiencing a conscious amnesia due to the disconnect between all people. Duality is more prevalent now than it's ever been. It's a war of me versus you, and we forget that we can coexist in our true nature. Never allow the world to determine your reality, because you are the world. Just because everyone else is consciously lost and following the trends of other confused souls, it doesn't mean you have to be the part of that rat race. Until you come to the realization that a world of external desires only causes duality and continuation of the ego, you can really never know true peace. But everything is possible when the mind is still and knows this peace. That it is more than the senses, more than the outside world of illusions. The distractions, the illusions, the chase, it no longer means a thing when you can remember who you are again. This relearning, this rediscovering, is the awakening of consciousness. So, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this world of illusions. Two stories, works of amazing literature, the Bhagavad Gita and the Allegory of the Cave. In both these stories, there are some very similar important messages. In the Allegory of the Cave, there's a really bleak, dark cave with prisoners living inside it for all or most of their lives, and some do escape, but for the most part, they stay in the darkness. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is a concept that one must turn all of their energy to God and not get caught up in all of the other worldly matters. This physical world only causes suffering, and one must overlook and overcome the chains of this world and follow one's dharma. In the Allegory of the Cave in the Bhagavad Gita, it shares the idea that one must overcome the illusion, or the Maya, in Hinduism and Buddhism, and not become a prisoner of their own mind. Maya, the illusion, is a large concept in both of these stories. From these works of literature, you can learn that the Maya, or the illusion, is everywhere. People all tend to get caught up in the illusory aspects of life. Maya, the illusion, distracts us from the truth and from reaching our fullest potential. Maya, the illusion, keeps us limited to our sense, entrapped in our ego, another distortion of the truth. The truth, at its core, is that all of us are connected, and this world is a representation of an infinite blueprint. Everything's energy, made up of energy. There is more than meets the eye. The thing that connects all energy is love. We are all connected through love. And that is the truth. But only our higher self can process that. Maya, the illusion, keeps us disconnected. And the illusion conceals the truth that God is always there if we reveal the veil. However, the illusion, this darkness, keeps us separated from this knowledge. The shadow self, the deep unconscious mind, the mind itself, which draws attachment to all physical things, conceals this truth, that we are infinite energy and consciousness, but we only see the things of the senses, and it conceals the awe of everything. We fail to see the blueprint, only seeing things that the mind can perceive. Most humans live completely out of their root chakra, or their lower self, drawing meaning and information primarily from their senses. These senses, though, are limited. We are never far from God, but Maya keeps this truth hidden through Prakriti, which we get attached to. Prakriti is all physical material things that the senses derive meaning from. People think that this is what life is all about, and that's all there is. The truth lies underneath the surface, though, within us. Here's a quote from the Bhagavad Gita, actually. "Rise above all of them, O Arjuna. Above all the pairs of opposing sensations, be steady in truth, free from worldly anxieties, and centered in the self. The ability to recognize this is what sets one free." According to the Bhagavad Gita, the ego draws attachment to Prakriti because the ego just wants to consume and consume. As humans, we desire more and more, and it's just never enough. The ego is like the animal that can never get enough. It can never be really tamed, it's just temporary. And that's what ego happiness is. It's fleeting, it's temporary, and it leaves you needing limitless outside stim. It leads to a consumeristic way of life. The physical world is what causes suffering, but the ego lives for it because it keeps it alive. The physical world causes one to desire, and desire causes suffering. A person not longing for anything can just be, because they are not attached to the outcome, they are not attached to the future. They can just be, which allows one to eventually overcome the ego. Restraining them all, let him immediately meditate on me steadfastly. For who thus conquers his senses achieves perfection. It's another quote from the Gita. All perfection cannot be attained. All suffering stems from the ego, and the ego feeds off the illusion. But only the higher self can perceive the truth, because there are so many distractions that prevent us from attaining this knowledge. It has to be an innate knowing that can perceive this. When we only draw meaning from senses, though, we are limited. The ego wants to cling to what it thinks it knows, the limited information that it receives from the mind. It resists change and growth and insists that it knows best. The ego, in reality, is only attached to senses and is limited, so that it sets back. Most people are just going through the motions, and they draw things they just happen to experience into their being. They're socially conditioned. They're environmentally oriented. But it never allows them to draw inward or discover their true identity and their potential for greatness. With our senses, humans tend to derive meaning from the outside world, and the ego tries to make sense of it. It feeds off the senses, one experiences, and it internalizes it. Unlike the ego, soul happiness, though, is not fleeting. Everything from the external is temporary, but soul happiness is the constant amazement at life, the good or the bad, all of it in its beauty. When you lead from within, there's a realization that you are whole. It's a realization that you have everything you will ever need inside you. Inside your heart, your mind, your body, and your soul. Many draw their experiences into their being, a face they wear that is more like a mask of the true self, not the external one they derived from their past. Rather than attach meaning from the outer world to the inner world, it's best to draw meaning internally and reflect it to the outer world. Life is like a mirror. What you manifest inward, you receive right back. The ego is not real. The biggest illusion of all is the illusion of self. Hence, the ego is not real. The ego is an illusion because it feeds off the Maya, a man-made illusion. The ego always needs something to hold on to. It needs to feel real and validated. This being is more of an avatar. We are all energy and consciousness at our core. But we hold on to a false identity that's not even ours to begin with. The ego thinks it wants a consumeristic lifestyle and fed this false identity where it tries to make sense of the world. The sinner, the ignorant, the vile, deprived of spiritual perception by the glamour of illusion, and he who pursues a godless life, none of them shall find me. It's another quote from the Bhagavad Gita. The ego tries to make sense of the world, but it really can't because its consciousness is limited to the physical reality. You see? The ego is only a construct, as is the physical world. It's the blueprint behind the manifestation that is the truth. It's the energetic capacity that starts within that creates everything surrounding us. We need to realize that it's energy behind everything. And that is the truth, and that life mimics creation, and we are the creators. When we create, we are living out of our true self, always changing, transforming, and creating anew. The key is to live out from the heart. Connect the inner world to the outer world, not the other way around. Life's about taking action from the higher self, rather than through the limited egoic mind. It's about leading from the true self, rather than the persona that we created based off something that is illusory. The Maya can be described as another term, the Matrix. This is not a new concept. This is a concept that has been around for thousands of years, and people are beginning to wake up. It's a concept that has always resonated with people, an eternal truth. This theme is not only explored in the Bhagavad Gita, but also in Plato's cave. It's even seen in the pop culture film, in the 1999 movie, The Matrix. In the allegory of the cave, there are references of the Maya, such as, whether on their own or with the help by others, to see anything besides the shadows that are. Plato describes these people as prisoners. They are trapped in their own minds and can see no way out. They are living in their own shadows and they cannot see the light. The real directors, though, are living behind the scene, not craving the spotlight. You don't have to be what everyone else tells you to be, what everyone else wants you to be, or whatever they expect you to be. Write your own life narrative. Can you see the bigger picture? Or are you living for the illusion? In the allegory of the cave is like the suffering that many people endure daily. Most people are suffering because they cannot see their own divine light. They are trapped in Prakriti. They are concealed from the truth that there is a world beyond it. They cannot see the truth because the light is concealed by darkness. In the end, though, light prevails. Whatever you shine light on comes through. Light will always overcome darkness. When you shine light on your unconscious, the unconscious becomes consciousness. But the people in control do not want the prisoners to be freed, for they're easier to control. They will do everything in their right mind to keep him blind, because it is easier to have a nation of sleeping people rather than a nation of woke individuals. If they are sleeping, they are easier to manipulate and feed beliefs into. They follow like sheep, only being led into a dark cave where they are most comfortable in. If one gets too used to the darkness, they will accept it and think that's all there is. They will not question anything. They won't go deeper than the surface. They'll just put up with mediocrity because everyone else appears to be doing just fine with this conditioning. We tend to accept a life of limitations, not questioning anything, just doing what we're told. Accepting mediocrity might feel comfortable, but not comparable to the indescribable joy of truth. Take the red pill and wake up. Gloria Steinem once said, "The truth will set you free, but first, it will piss you off." And this third wave feminist is very, very insightful with this truth. Because Plato even references how the light was hard to adjust to when the prisoners escaped the cave, but it was better than living in ignorance. There is an inexhaustible blueprint of beauty yet to be discovered behind the veil of the shadow. And Plato put his shoulder to the stone, and it moved, and the light shone in. His deep consciousness was activated. In the beauty of the light, he saw all the colors, and Plato was set free because he saw the beauty underneath the shadow. And Arjuna became awakened because he experienced the divine truth. Thank you for listening to my podcast. This was Jill. Namaste. Hello, welcome back to episode 6 of Jill's podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about what it means to be trusting of the process and to practice pure acceptance. I've learned how important it is to trust the journey. I've learned to trust this road. Why? Because ultimately, everything works out for the best case scenario, as long as you're committed to growth, as long as you value your life and the lives of those closest to you. If you actively seek good, alignment is the only option. Success is the only possible road. I have learned to trust my journey. Why? Because through all the ups and downs, I've grown into the woman that I am today, and that is enough. Even during the hardest times, I always came out stronger. I realize, though, life is much easier if you do trust and do not continue to resist, aka trust the process. When you resist, it only takes longer for things to fall into alignment, you see. Ultimately, I realized that everything eventually aligns And all I have to do, my only job, is to trust. Trust is on the other end of fear. And on the other side of fear is love. And if you fear obstacles and setbacks, or resist them when they arise, you're really only living from a place of fear and limitation. Or survival mode, which is a life of fight or flight response, the mode of the ego. The ego is conditional, the opposite of unconditionality and love. Everything always finds a way. It's just a matter if you want life to come into alignment sooner or later, and there is only now. Time doesn't exist. There's only now. This moment. And we're meant to do more than just survive. When you trust, you're no longer resisting or fighting. So actively choose trust. Choose happiness. If you truly value yourself, you will choose to continuously grow into your higher self. If growth and coming into the higher self is the secret to alignment, then why do we still resist? Right? Because the ego thinks the circumstances are the limitation. That is the victim speaking. Only you are the limitation. Your own thoughts, your own egoic mind. Nothing is happening to you, only for you. Don't resist. Choose beauty. Choose yourself. Put yourself first. Choose your energy and allow it to grow to help you and others flourish. If you trust and have this perspective, you will never be depressed and will never live as a victim again. You will only prosper and be the creator rather than the victim. To create, to be joyful and full of love is our true nature. But it's easy. It's easier to fall back into our lower self. It requires less effort. That's why people often give up. It's easier to be a victim and blame the world for your unhappiness. It's much harder to realize that you are the only one who can change your reality and raise yourself up. It all begins on an energetic level. If you continue to perpetuate your suffering, your outside reality is only going to reflect that. The moment that you commit to maintaining inner harmony, the world can speed up alignment in both your inner and outer world. Nearly all of the depressed people that I have met have blamed their unhappiness on the world. There is nothing happening to you, though, only for you. You are out of alignment, and the universe is trying to restore order by providing lessons to evolve your soul. That is the universe trying to restore equilibrium, order, and balance. The universe is always trying to bring balance. When we have major falls, though, it takes more effort and energy to restore things back to peace. But we fear bigger transitions as they require us to change our ways, ways that no longer are working for us. To have an open heart and mind during transitional periods is one of the hardest, most rewarding things we can do for ourselves. To not close yourself off and react and be fearful, but to embrace the possibility of a better future. Even when we are full and we are in full synergy, we are still continuing to grow. It just does not feel so much of an emotional toll because there is a more gradual transition occurring, one with less resistance and one which is less intense and dramatic. The universe is always in action, an ever-changing fractal. Its goal is to bring alignment in all things at all times, so the soul can know peace or samadhi. Times of bigger transitions require more energy of you, because it needs to be in action to move itself into total alignment. The universe is always in motion for the sole purpose. Its goal is that all beings can re-remember itself a source, not the limitation or just the body and the mind. The soul needs growth in order to remember and reconnect with its true nature. Life is all about growth. So the next time you have a strong growth period, remember that you fell back into your lower self, and the universe is trying to dramatically raise your vibration to raise you back from the ashes. You need a bigger transition to align. Do not resist, rather than embrace it. So the next time you're ready for a big transition, remember the universe is providing its love and encouragement. Know that the state is temporary and was necessary. Something that I've been working on in my life is to not be so attached, and that is everything, because a lot of things are things that we can't change. I used to take the things that happened to me in my past into my being personally. I take everything personally, the retreat back into the past, in fear of the present. This attachment, to change the past, makes one to have unrealistic and a disappointed expectation of the future. Change comes with loving yourself, you see, and others. And if you know one loves you, and you take that purest form of love, let it give you hope for the future. Our past will determine our future. It only does it if you let it. It's never about controlling our environment. It's about changing your perspective of how you look at things. The past is more like an illusion, and the point of the illusion is to help you to awaken. You were given struggles to awake. Never fret things that you do not understand, because there are infinite possibilities for any given scenario. I can't promise you perfection, but I can guarantee growth. Your growth builds a foundation for God's manifested kingdom of prosperity and even evolution. In the past, our ancestors had to make mistakes and grow from them to get smarter and produce better results in the future, you see. The cavemen had to grow smarter over time and get it right. Our life mimics that same vibration. You're set out of your own cave when you see there's no such thing as a perfect life. Stop longing and stop living in fear. If you always want to control your environment, you are also living out of fear, so trust your process. Evolution is our true nature. Not control and not fear. Never allow how you feel to be based off of some outer circumstance, such as how something happened to play out or how one feels about you. Your fears can't hurt you. They can only hold you back. And in the end, good always prevails. You can become the person you want to become, rather than the person people think that you are. Forgive them, for people are flawed. Have compassion for them, because they are their own limitation to happiness. Love them, because only through love can they change, but understand that not everyone is deserving of love. They are in the three dimension. They do not know what they do. Understand, though, that there is a greater spiritual force that unifies us all together. Allow this to give you hope in humanity. Accept them for what they are, limited spiritual beings. Love them for what they are, spiritual beings experiencing a limitation. Accept the nature of this 3D reality, because most people are living out of the shadow self and cannot see the bigger picture. Accept their shadow and love them for their higher self. Believe in good, but accept the limitation. Until people know love, they cannot surrender to their true nature and to the unknown, a state of samadhi where all things are possible. Because we're living in the 3D, our glass is filled halfway. But with the right perspective, the glass is half full. If you over-idealize the world, the glass will be so full it overflows, leaving you disillusioned. But with acceptance, there is no longer any resistance. The universe allows all things to flow into alignment so that the frequency can be raised, and together, we can all rise. Thank you for tuning in. I hope you found this podcast helpful. Blessed be. Namaste. Goodbye, everyone. Hello, welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Awakening with Jill and Marty. My dog sitting next to me is being a really good boy. Today, I want to talk a bit about feminism, resiliency, and empowerment. So, one of the hardest things, I think, especially when we live in a world that almost seems to thrive off of taking away our personal power. Why is that? Well, when we're easier to control, there's more things that we can do to help the people in control. You see, although from a global perspective, things do need to be run a certain way to be functional. From like a functional perspective, the fact that we obey and we conform and we do the things we need to do is definitely helpful, especially from like an economic standpoint.
But we're more than just made to obey and conform, buy and consume and want more and more and more, because that is really the root of all evil. And they know this. It's the control matrix. The control matrix is the opposite of personal power. You see? In an ideal world, we could all share our resources. We could all be equal. We could all share this equality. But we're not in a point in history where this is possible. So we're all just trying to do our best to survive in this rat race, which is really unpleasant if you think about it. We're all just trying to make money just so we can buy things, so then the world can tell us that we're happy when we have those things. But do those things really make you happy? Yes. We need to have certain things in order to evolve as a species. We need to have our certain Maslowian needs met first. We need to have, you know, food and shelter and love and family. But we shouldn't put all of our energy, all of our emphasis on these resources. We should focus on being comfortable enough that we can thrive, no matter where we're placed. So, the most important thing when it comes to creating that sustainable life that we can maintain with others and ourselves, the most best thing we can do is to have a career that expands us, mind, body, spirit. It helps us grow, and it helps others expand. To me, the best career is a career. The best career, I think, is a career that brings light to the world around us. That's why I've chosen to go into the healing professions. Whether that's as a therapist, or as a Reiki healer, nutritionist, herbologist, psychic. These are all things I have in store. A yoga teacher. These are all things that will give me an inspiring life. One where I feel proud. One where I feel motivated. You see, motivation is the core of empowerment. So if you don't really truly feel motivated to do something, you're not working from a place of your true power. So a lot of times when people aren't motivated, they feel disconnected from their solar plexus. They feel disconnected from their heart. You have to have your solar plexus, your will, your heart chakra, and your third eye open, your vision, if you want to be happy economically. If you don't have those things, willpower, love, and vision, you're not going to thrive in your career. You're going to not feel motivated. You're not going to be empowered. You're going to struggle. It's going to be impossible to sustain that long term. That's why I encourage everyone to just go out and be passionate about what they want to do with their lives. Of course, you're going to experience burnout long term if you're not truly inspired by the work you do. And that's not healthy, that's not sustainable, that's not empowering. This world thrives off us not feeling good enough about ourselves. That is the control matrix. The only way to resist the control is to be empowered. Because if you're not suffering, then you're not part of the solution. They want you to be the problem. That is their solution. They're hoping that you'll be burnt out enough that you'll spend the rest of your life on antidepressants and anti-anxiety drugs, antipsychotics, whatever it is they can sell you.
medications. This is what they thrive off of. They're hoping that we spend our lives drinking on the weekends, sick and unhealthy, selling us drugs to pollute us. Selling us the solutions when they're the ones who created the problems. So you see, this is a society that thrives off us not feeling good enough about ourselves, not feeling empowered, not feeling loved enough. Because that's where the money is. These people, they're corrupt. They don't know love. They don't know true power. Your true power is your will and your love. And they have another... No, they only have just will. And their only will comes from a very, very low negative vibration. To make money. To profit. But when you align your heart chakras with your will, then you know you're doing what you do out of a place of love and goodness. So you should feel proud of that. You should feel good knowing that. So don't let these greedy corporations instill fear and doubt in you. This entire society is built off of that. It's a system that profits off of you not feeling well enough yourself, and I cannot emphasize that enough. They'll sell you everything and tell you that you're not good enough. And it's really disgusting. They tell women that they're not beautiful enough, not skinny enough. They sell all these weight loss pills, all these makeup products. How do you think that affects us as a society? Does that put us at a place of confidence and true power and empowerment? Or does it make us go from a place of shame and fear and resent? So once you know this, that's how the society works, you never once have to again feel bad about yourself. It doesn't matter what happened in your past. All that matters is how you deal with your present circumstances. Whatever happened is not now. All you need to focus is on your will right now, and let that lead you to a place where you want to be. But don't focus on the result. Focus on right now and instilling the values that matter to you in your present life right now. Don't become so focused on the future, trying to create this dream, that you lose track of the present. Because if you do that, you'll always feel empty and unsatisfied. Everything has a place. Everything. The ego thinks that everything will fall into place, though. Only when... Everything... The ego thinks everything will fall into place, and then they'll be at peace. But your spirit knows that you can find peace within everything. Within yourself, within the world, and then everything else falls into place. I spent so much time in my life not being satisfied. Because I was like, oh, once I have the perfect job and the perfect home and the perfect future, perfect family, then I'll be happy. But no. No, I'm creating those things currently. I'm manifesting them right now. I'm manifesting and I'm working hard. I'm not letting fear and doubt cloud my vision. And what I want to see, I'm currently creating. My thoughts amplify my reality. And what I'll see is a reflection of what I'm projecting, essentially. So keep your vibration high. Keep your vibration high. Know that the power is yours. That the past is only a figment of your mind. And you can't let the mind cloud your vision. Your vision is your guiding tool. Another thing I think is really important is women coming together to be resilient, to be the change they want to see in the world. I think women are some of the people who struggle most. I'm not suppressing men's issues at all. I'm saying that women
struggle, I think, a lot more with personal willpower. They have a lot more trauma when it comes to the solar plexus. And I think they have a lot more problems when it comes to accepting themselves as what they are and who they can be. But they don't see who they can be because they get stuck in the past based off how people treated them, what people thought of them, what people expect of them. They place a lot of their mental energy there. And I don't think that's a healthy thing to do. They need to be resilient. They need to know that what happened in the past is not a reflection of where they're going and where they are. So if you can truly love yourself, that's truly an act of rebellion. The world does not profit off of you. You create the example in the world that you want to see. You're an inspiration to all women around you. What can powerful women do? Powerful women are the key to change. They set the standard. They set the new earth. They set the new standard of living. We'll never again feel succumbed to fall into these low societal standards of what we should be and that we're not enough. We set the new vision. We create the new world. We don't let people walk on us, tell us we're not good enough or we're not enough. Because that's all made by fearful men, that whole concept. Feminism is not a bad thing. All it means is equality. All it means is true equality. The political, economic, and social equality of the sexes. And we need that. We are resilient, we are beautiful, and we are enough. So keep this empowerment from this podcast. Know that I love you and I believe in you. And I see beautiful things in your life. And I believe that you can set the example and be the change as well. So thank you. Thank you for coming to my podcast today. I hope you feel a little bit more empowered about your future and that you create a beautiful reality right now. That you're empowered, that you're loved, you know you're loved, and that you love life. You have so much power. Don't ever let the world tell you that you're not enough. Be a rebel. Be a star. Thank you, everyone. Goodbye. Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome back to another episode of Jill's podcast. Today I'm going to be talking a little bit about the abundant nature of love and the abundant nature of nature. So some of this will be my own thoughts, some of this will be more poetic. So one thing that really does matter to me is nature. It's how I find my connection to life. So I want to share some of my thoughts about that. We can all tune in to the abundant nature of nature, the abundant energy of nature, simply by being aware that it exists. We can use some of nature's energy to share with others. And the more we share that love, the more we can also receive it. The more we are aware of it, the more appreciation and gratitude we can give back to nature. By being aware of nature's love, the more receptive we can be. The more receptive we are, the more we can spread that same energy to others. It's similar to Reiki, and it's symbiotic. Everything is connected, and it's all beautiful. So, tune in to the magnificent energy of life and love by simply being aware of its presence. Tap in and receive. Everything is peacefully woven together through love and the breath of life. You are the breath of life. Be still and know that I am there. Stay aware and be like the ethereal air. Because just like the trees, we are all blooming together, millions of fractals all forming the divine art, mirroring the highest love in the greatest form. Love is symbiotic, a divine giving and receiving, a healing mirroration. Love is all that is, and everything is unified through love. Love is like a mirror. Love is a reflection. Love is, and always has been, the foundation of truth, the basis behind everything else. And the more love we can receive, the more we can explore. Your perception truly is a reflection of your consciousness. So if you know that you are love, and everything is love, then you will experience great love in return. Spirit is expressing a divine essence through you, and it is safe to be exactly who you are. There is a world of dreams calling your name, asking you to come and breathe life into it. So yeah, I just think it's really beautiful that everything truly is woven through love and life, the breath of life. It's all one essence, and it creates everything and everyone. So knowing that it's love, the more we can tap into it and receive its energy and its bounty, the more we can share that full supply. It truly is beautiful, and it truly is abundant, and it's truly plentiful. It's like Reiki, because Reiki is passed down energy from one person to another person, so by taking the energy of nature, you can also pass that energy down to other people. So it truly is an energy that we need to resonate with and choose consciously to perceive. It's always there. Just open your mind to it, open your heart to it, and love. Let yourself grow just like these trees. Become like nature, true in thought and intent, and mean no harm. Thank you for tuning in. I really enjoyed sharing this powerful message, and I really hope this message can help heal and bring love to your life as well. Blessed be. Thank you, guys. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Inner Awakening. Today, I'm going to be talking about shadow work and being consciously present. What if I told you that everything that you experience in your reality is for a divine reason? That everything is part of a bigger plan to bring you into alignment? Would you be able to trust, accept, and surrender then? So much of our lives are spent in fear, hoping that things do turn out a certain way or do not turn out a certain way. Why are we so attached to outcomes? Do we think that what we accomplish or seek will make us feel full? Our minds are entirely attached to the future, and we think that the future will hold some sort of key to salvation. We believe that the future holds the capacity for our happiness, whatever it is that we think will help us heal or even feel good. Can we just live in the present? To live in the present would mean to surrender to all hopes and fears. Only when we are not attached to any circumstances can we let go of our fears. This is why so many people in the world live in a perpetual state of anxiety. They cannot be present. If our minds are constantly in the future, then we will miss out on all that life has to offer us right now. When we crave, when we desire, we are once again living out of the ego and in survival mode. But why limit yourself to a life of chase, seeking a temporary band-aid? You have the capacity to overcome this type of conditioning, and by remembering your wholeness and divinity, you can reclaim yourself. Imagine spending your whole life in the past or future, and not ever truly living. That is the sad reality of how most people run their lives. Seeking, seeking, and seeking, but never living. It's truly a waste of your life. So how does this all connect to shadow work, you might ask? Shadow work is about going within, understanding your triggers and your unconscious mind. By discovering our repressed self, we can make more room for lightness and divinity. When our reality has been fogged by guilt, rejection, or shame, we form a mask to protect our ego and begin to identify more with an illusory self. If part of our divine expression has been repressed,
We cannot live out of our light. Once we identify with our masks, our darkness, though, and we identify them, we can surrender and begin to let go of it, though. Our masks were only created as a defense, as a way to protect ourselves, as a way to protect the ego. And if we continue to live through the chaotic unconscious, we perpetuate the cycle of pain and desperation. The repression and the dark creates pain on both an unconscious and collective unconscious level. As we heal ourselves, we begin to heal humanity too, as we are all connected to each other. The point of shadow work is to dissolve the pain within by bringing conscious attention to it. Nothing can survive in the light of consciousness. Nothing dark, that is. But by being present now, we see that there is only awareness. The you that you think you are has only been created by pain or by what other people have told you that you are. What you experience does not create a you, it's just an experience. There's nothing to resist or to seek. Fear in reality is just resistance, and if you practice acceptance and not attachment, then there's nothing to resist. Everything simply is. Now, you see that when you are mind identified, you are indeed a slave to the world around you. But if you rewire the conditioning, you'll remember that you're a whole and complete. Let go of your protective ego and make room for God. The paradox is that the only way that we have control in life is by not resisting anything and letting go completely. In the words of musical artist Anushka Shankar, the same tide that drew me close pushed me far away. He's saying the tighter you grasp to anything, the harder it is to obtain. Alan Watts did something similar. He said, in a relativistic universe, you don't cling to anything. You learn to swim. And you know what swimming is? It's kind of a relaxed attitude with the water, in which you don't keep yourself afloat by holding the water, but by a certain giving into it. You must create space for all things, including your own light. And that means not to cling, because clinging is really resistance to the unknown. And there is no point to fight or to flight if you know that everything, even the things that you've deemed unpleasant, are here to serve you and not hurt you. All experiences are the opportunity for your divine ascension and awakening, not an ego formation, unless you let it. You choose how to react. Shadow work is an unlearning, a recognizing of the toxic patterns we have inflicted upon ourselves. Shadow work goes hand in hand with ascension because we embody the energy of Lord Shiva. We are destroying the illusions that we've built up around ourselves to protect ourselves. Just like Neo in the Matrix, we wake up to true reality within. And the irony is that this ego formation doesn't really protect us, it really only hurts us. So once you know this, why would you continue to keep doing it again? Isn't that really like insanity? The definition of insanity? So, we transform our darkness into light. We exit the Matrix, and we wake up to who we really are. Just like Neo, ascension is through conscious awareness, and shadow work is a very useful tool to becoming more aware of our true nature. Shadow work is really about destroying illusion. And that's one of the key aspects to our ascension. We have to embody all the elements, all the energies that the gods represent. We are always whole, we are always complete, but it allows us to live out and make more room for light if we have this perspective. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I really enjoyed talking about shadow work and conscious presence, and I really truly think that these are very important things, and it's not always easy, but if we want to ease our suffering, sometimes we have to face the aspects of ourselves. And like even a Neo in the Matrix again, it's not easy, but he becomes free. Wouldn't you want to be free? And always putting on a temporary band-aid? Go within. Make room. Love. Thank you, guys.
Blessed be.